Our guest today on All Things Soul is not only a Pulitzer Prize recipient, he is one of the most distinguished and respected journalists and opinion leaders in Washington, D.C. But before all of that, Jonathan T. Capehart was born and grew up in northern New Jersey, attended St. Benedict's Prep School right here in Newark, New Jersey, and started his career in news and journalism as a researcher for NBC's Today Show, and then in New York as an editorial board member for the New York Daily News. Jonathan left us here in the New York City area and moved to Washington and became a journalist and an editorial writer for the Washington Post in 2007. Aside from being one of the best dressed men in Washington, today, Jonathan Capehart is a busy man who wears multiple hats. As an editorial writer for the Washington Post, as the host of his own podcast, Cape Up, the host of his own Sunday show on MSNBC, and in what is, in my opinion, one of the most coveted commentator spots in Washington, as a weekly commentator on the PBS NewsHour segment with David Brooks, entitled Brooks and Capehart. All of this at the tender age of 55. And last but not least, Jonathan is an avid WBGO fan, listener, member, and supporter of this terrific radio station. In fact, he is a member of our Jazz Leadership Society. Jonathan Capehart, thanks for being on WBGO with us.
Jay, to say that this is an honor would be an understatement. One, because I love this station so much. Two, because I respect you so much. And three, you've got me in line with President Clinton and Skip Gates. Come on, that's right, man.
That's right. You're all of a certain phenomenal stature. And we're glad to have you, particularly because of your love of WBGO. Tell us how you came to know the station, how you became a listener.
You know, I think it had to have been probably the late 90s, because I was living in the Meatpacking District, my partner and I at the time, and we were looking for just something that wasn't hip-hop or wasn't R&B. We were looking for something a little more mellow. And we came across this jazz station and no commercials. And it was fantastic. And so the dial just stayed there. So it had to have been the late 90s. And then I discovered Rhythm Review. And Rhythm Review was just, it took me back to my childhood in New Jersey. And I wasn't just born in Northern New Jersey, Jay. I was born in Newark, New Jersey. Hey. We lived there until I was 10. And, you know, my home, those 10 years, was the towers that were called at the time Academy Spires. And so, you know, when I would listen to Rhythm Review, it would take me back to those mornings when my mother would get up and she always turned the radio on. And at the time, it was always WBLS. This is in the, you know, 60s and 70s. And, you know, you'd hear the great R&B songs. You know, Me and Mrs. Jones was my favorite song as a child. Okay. Not because I understood the words.
Me and Mrs. Jones, we got a thing going.
It was just what I heard in the morning when my mother was getting ready. So my love of BGO only expanded as I got older. And most definitely, once I left New York and moved to Washington, WBGO became my connection back home. And now, if you ask my husband, he listens to it probably against his will most of the time, because it's the first thing I put on in the morning and it's the last thing that's on before I go to bed. And then it's on throughout the day.
You know, that sounds like my kids. One day I was in the car with my daughter listening to BGO and we were listening to something from the 60s. I can't remember what it was. My daughter's 26. And she just started mouthing the words of this song from the 60s. And I said, Natalie, how in the world do you know this song? Because you made me grow up with it, Dad. I've been listening to this music all my life because I live under the same roof with you. So I very much understand what you said, and you're still a listener in Washington, D.C., I take it.
Yes, I still am an avid listener. You know, I know I'm going on, but I want to tell one more story about BGO. In July of 2019, I took the entire month off, left the United States, and went to Rome and spent the month in Rome. And whenever I travel to Europe, I always turn on WBGO because Brian Delp in the morning in Europe is, excuse me, overnight here in the States. So for me, Brian Delp was my voice in Europe whenever I got up. And so every morning I got up and I went for walks and I was listening to Brian. And I heard one song after another on my walks that sparked my imagination and really just put me on the ground in Rome. And so I started keeping a playlist. And it's entitled Rome 2019. It has 46 songs. And ideally, especially the first 20 or so songs are from maybe that those first 2 weeks. And it was by listening to Brian that, you know, I discovered Pensativa, Art Blakey and the Jazz Messengers. And whenever I would play it while I was in Rome, even after hearing it the first time, whenever I put it on now, it immediately takes me back to the streets of Rome, walking around, taking in the sights and the history. And I like to say, you know, people learn languages and people understand other languages. And I like to say that when it comes to jazz, I speak the language of Brian Delp. The music he plays always, always hit me in a nostalgic way. I learn something. I come back with treasures when I listen to his program.
Who are some of your favorites growing up on the R&B side, Jonathan?
Oh, gosh. See, I knew I should have gone back and instead of titles, look at the names of the bands. I've always been...
Titles, artists, who work with anything.
Well, you know, of course, Marvin Gaye, Curtis Mayfield, The Emotions, Stevie Wonder, Aretha Franklin, you know, the greats, the giants.
I'm loving him a little bit for each day. Turns me right on when I hear him say. Hey, baby, let's get away. Let's go somewhere. Oh, baby, well, I don't care.
And then when it comes to jazz, anything Sarah Vaughan does is just transports me, her voice.
A lullaby of Birdland, that's what I always hear when you sigh.
So there are lots of performers and groups and artists I could name if I could name them.
You know, what you said earlier resonates with me. There have been so many instances just listening to Felix Rhythm Review over the years, and I started in the 90s also, where I'll hear something that he plays and I'll remember the moment I heard it. Mm-hmm. And whenever I hear that selection again, it always takes me back to the original moment when I first heard it on Rhythm Review. So I can't do this interview, and I think it's notable because I'm interviewing you for a change.
You've probably That's right.
Me about a dozen times or so. And so I can't help but ask you about Washington these days on the political front. You cover it. What's your general assessment of things in Washington these days and the state of our politics?
Well, the state of our politics is concerning, is the word that comes to mind. That the it's not even wedge issues anymore. It's folks are on one side or another. There doesn't seem to be any more gray. In some ways, that's bad because you need gray in politics and policy in order to compromise. But it's good that there's no gray, because in some of the issues that we're talking about, some of the elections that folks are watching, there is a clear choice. It's either you are for the institutions that uphold democracy or you're not. And the fact that there are lots of people on the ballot all over in races all over the country who don't believe the results of the 2020 presidential election were valid, that that election was a free and fair election, should concern everybody. Because, you know, if any of those folks get elected or are elected and start walking the halls of power, they could have a role in furthering the erosion of our democratic institutions. And, you know, back in 2016, we saw how our institutions buckled, but they did not break. And here we are 6 years later, and we're looking at a situation where those institutions very well might buckle under the weight of so much of the efforts to delegitimize our democratic, small d, democratic institutions. And that's what gives me the most concern. I do, however, hope that the energy that we have seen since the murder of George Floyd, since the Dobbs decision that came out from the Supreme Court at the end of its term this year, that energy and passion and enthusiasm will go from, you know, protesting in the streets to going to the ballot box. And at a minimum, people going to the ballot box because they feel it is important, no matter the party, to uphold uphold the franchise, but also stand up for democracy by casting a ballot.
Jonathan, thank you so much for your support of WBGO over the years. Thank you for your membership in the Jazz Leadership Society. Last question I have for you is, why should listeners of WBGO continue to support this station? Why is it so important that this public radio station in Newark, New Jersey, continue to thrive and exist, in your view?
Jazz is America's original art form. It is from the lives and lived experience of African Americans. It is our history. And when I say our history, I'm talking about American history. And Black history, but it's American history. And to have a radio station that plays music that runs the range, both in art form, but also in time, to show the evolution of this art form. And to also show that, you know, jazz and R&B are two different art forms, but they share similar roots. And to be able to have DJs, do they still call them DJs, Jay? Are you a DJ?
It's a dated term, but I can't think of a better one.
Me either. But to have folks like Felix, like Brian, and all the other really terrific DJs at WBGO with their own sensibilities when it comes to jazz, when it comes to R&B. And that's why I'm always listening. Because while Brian Delp is my North Star, all the other DJs are also showing me what jazz means to them. Their respect for the art form and the artists is what keeps me not just coming back. It's pretty much the only station I listen to. And so I think for anyone who's listening, who hasn't given, but has been listening for a long time, you don't have to be you don't have to donate at the Jazz Leadership Society level. You could give anything, but you know, the anything is a show of commitment to the station, to the art form, to the music, because the idea that WBGO, I think, is the only jazz station, public radio jazz station in the country. Think about that. And if you're sitting here and you're listening to the music and you love it and you can't feel, you feel that you can't live without it, well, come on. You got to do just a little something to help keep the doors open. And so that's why after years of listening, decades listening to WBGO and not giving, where I finally said, well, wait a minute, this is my station. And I have to help keep it going. And so that's why, you know, once I got to a point where I could give and give more than, you know, I could in the past, that I do. And I do so willingly and gladly.
Jonathan Capehart, thank you so much for your time. Thank you for your kind words. And thank you for this interview. I owe you one. Jonathan, thank you so much.
Mr. Secretary, thank you.